Right now, I have Kara Berkman on the phone with me. Good morning, Kara.
Hi, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well, thank you. So if you would just start by telling us a little bit about yourself and why you decided to run for election. Of course, you've got a few months of experience as a state lawmaker behind you. You may and decided not to run the other way.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. A little bit about me. I have 6 kids. I've adopted 2 of them from foster care and private adoption. My husband and I have been married for almost 20 years now, and we live in Mountain Green. We've been in Mountain Green for about 13 years, I want to say. Prior to that, we lived in Montana, but my husband's from Salt Lake originally. I'm from Montana originally, but I came down to go to school at BYU. I have owned and operated a private business, a daycare and preschool center, for about 10 years, except this last year I went back into the corporate world and started working for a law firm as their business manager. I have always enjoyed politics. It was actually while we were foster parents, I decided I really wanted to get more involved in the policy decisions that are being made, because we often heard the phrase, yes, the system's broken, but that's the system that we have to work with. And that just didn't seem right to me. So that's what really inspired and got me involved in politics about 10 years ago. I served in a lot of state party capacities and local party capacities and worked on a lot of campaigns with different senators and congressional candidates. And I just enjoyed seeing people do their best to try to make a difference.
Yeah. Impressive with 6 kids. That's amazing. What do you think the top 3 issues facing the state are these days?
Well, right now, I mean, education is a huge issue, just because not only is our population just getting bigger all the time, but now we've got to figure out how to best educate kids under these pandemic situations that we have. You know, online education is just not a great tool for some kids. However, that's the safest tool at the same time for those kids. So we've got a lot to work out and fix in education and make sure that we're providing the best resources to our districts and to parents as possible. Another one I would say is, honestly, we've got to look at how to better maintain and care for our lands. Our public lands are important. We've also got to give people tools and resources to best maintain and take care of their private lands. Private lands and the ability to manage growth is going to be a bigger issue. You know, not as much in District 53. However, I'm sure the more urban side in Park City and Morgan, it's becoming a bigger issue with high-density housing and those types of things wanting to come in. And, you know, even in Garden City, that's going to be a bigger issue. They've had some issues with high-density projects being slated to come. We've got to figure out how to best provide affordable housing while still maintaining our rural communities and upholding private lands and their rights.
Yeah. So you support the state's efforts then to take back the federal lands?
Yes. Yes. You know, the first step, I think, would be to start getting more money, more out of tilt. You know, when a fire happens or someone gets lost on our mountains, our communities are the ones that go out there and try to bring back those individuals and try to help put out those fires. We should be getting more money for those lands to help manage and care for those lands if we can't take them back under control completely.
You didn't mention how this that COVID-19 as a critical issue. How do you think the state has done through the pandemic so far?
You know, I'm actually quite impressed with our state and how things have worked out. I think the governor has taken a very measured approach. I know as a legislature, we have really worked hard to solve the problems, to help people, to not hurt the economy. I'm thrilled to see our unemployment numbers today are still staying low, and that's huge. We do have to consider the businesses that have gone out of business, and my heart breaks for them. We've got to figure out how to better manage it. Nobody knew how to handle a pandemic. Nobody. This is all new for everybody. So considering the unknown that we were faced with, I feel like as a state, as communities, we stepped up in a big way. And yes, we still have a lot to work out and a lot to handle. But I'm really impressed. And I think in the general session, you'll see a lot of legislation that will open the door for better care next time. Should we have another spike? Should we see something like this happen, unfortunately, down the road? We'll be better prepared now because we've had this opportunity. And you know, my heart breaks for the people that have lost loved ones, that have lost their livelihoods. you know, that's just an unfortunate and sad thing. So I do want to say that, and I hope that those people are getting the help and the resources that they need.
KPCW's listening areas, of course, Summit and Wasatch County, both in the high category. You have said you don't support a mask mandate, but isn't that really the simplest thing to do, just to keep businesses open, require people to wear masks?
So what I've actually said is I don't support a statewide governor-made mask mandate. I 100% support private businesses requiring masks. That is their right. They should be able to do that. I 100% support county commissioners, county councils imposing mask mandates, school districts, absolutely, if they want to impose a mask mandate. I do support that 100%. It's the government mandate from the governor's office or the legislature that I think is an overreach. You know, Rich County has had just a couple cases. Daggett County, as of a month ago, had two cases the whole time. I don't think that their counties and their schools or their businesses or communities are going to have the same or should have the same response to what is happening with COVID as what we're seeing in the Wasatch Front, even in Park City. I think that local control is vital to maintain.
You have also said that you'd like to do away with unnecessary regulations. Can you give us an idea of what you see as some of those unnecessary regulations?
With regards to what was the context?
It was just, you have said, you know, it publicly you want
to.
So I'm just trying to figure out what unnecessary regulations are and which ones you're thinking about.
Yes. So as an example, when I owned my daycare center, it was state licensed, and I had an employee. I loved her to death. She had just had a newborn baby. She came back to work 6 weeks later, and it was about the time that the legislature had met, wrapped up the general session, and some of the laws had gone in place. One of those laws was that nursing mothers had to be provided a place to nurse their babies, and it couldn't be a bathroom. It had to be comfortable. It had to be shielded from the rest of the public. So my only place that I could do that in my daycare center was in the nursery where the babies were, which I thought, that's great. I'm all in favor of, I've breastfed my babies. I love it. I support it. So I said, okay, when you need a nurse, we'll switch you out and have you go into the nursery room so that you're protected, you're shielded, you're comfortable, you have a good place to nurse your baby. Well, then the state came in one day, and I had my employee back there nursing her baby during nap time. We had four babies sleeping and her nursing her baby. But I was only allowed to have four babies in there, period. However, I also had a woman who was like, I got to nurse my baby right now. Well, that was the only room I could put her in, was that room, and meet state guidelines. But putting her in there also meant I wasn't meeting state guidelines unless I woke one of the sleeping babies. Those types of we don't think sometimes about the implications of this on small businesses. Some of these rules, some of these regulations, some of these licensing requirements don't always make practical sense for small business owners trying to operate on a small budget and try to meet every requirement as they come together, and they don't always match up.
Okay. How do you feel about the state's efforts to reform taxes? I mean, do you think tax reform needs to happen?
No, I mean, tax reform is essential. Obviously, we're always going to be talking about tax reform. Ever since I was a child, I remember tax reform being discussed. You know, I think if we're going to, as a state, address tax reform, we need to be calm about it. We need to be clear about it. We need to have a lot more community involvement and people's input when it comes to tax reform. I think that's been the problem the last couple times, is there wasn't enough public involvement in the tax reform that was discussed. And let's be honest, as a Republican, what I'm always going to be focused on is our spending. Do we really have a tax problem? Do we have a revenue problem? Or do we have a spending problem?
All right. Let's see, your campaign sign, I was surprised to see that you've kind of embraced the typeface that Joe Biden is using, and yet you're a Republican? Or is that just kind of the 2020 look?
Yeah, you know, I had someone design my logo back in March, and to be completely honest, I wasn't aware of what Joe Biden's logo was going to look like. I wasn't thinking about presidential candidates and what they were doing. I was focused on what would make my name pop out and stand out. And that's, we felt like that was a good logo to go with. And you know, I'm not trying to pretend that I'm a Democrat. I was a vice chair of the Utah Republican Party. I'm staunchly Republican, but I don't think that we need to be focused so much on Republican versus Democrat. I really want people to look at policies. I've had a few people say, oh, I saw your logo and thought you were a Democrat, so I haven't been opening them. I'm like, you know what? That's not a good idea either way. You really should, whether I'm a Democrat, Republican, someone's running for office, give them the opportunity to share their ideas. See where you can come together. That's what we need a lot more of in the state nation, a lot more of listening to each other's ideas and finding middle ground.
In this particular race, we're guaranteed to have a woman representative. Utah has been talked about as being the last state needed to legally support the ratify ERA. So as a woman, is that something you would support?
It is not. I work in the sports field as well. I'm a high school basketball and football official. I completely understand that sometimes women are left behind in the workplace. I've seen it happen. I've endured it a little bit in different things in my life. However, it's my opinion that the government doesn't need to come in and make people be fair and equal. I believe that women have the strength and ability to go out there and take what's fairly theirs. You know, I don't frankly like the idea of some judges, prominently white male judges, sitting there saying, yes, yes, now we deem you as equal. To me, that's somewhat of a, it sets us back. I think we have strong, capable women that can go out there and do the job without being told that now they're allowed to do the job. And that's what I'm going to promote. I don't have any problem with women being treated fair and equal. Obviously, I'm a woman in the business world. I want that same thing. But I don't support the government needing to come in and say that we ought to be fair and treated equal, because I don't believe that it's necessary for women at this time.
All right. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to go head-to-head with your opponent, Cheryl Butler, but, I mean, can you talk a little bit about how you see yourself different from her besides the political party here?
You know, I think the only things that I know about her is she has a lot of good executive credentials, a lot of large business, large company corporation credentials. And that's a great, you know, tool that she has to work with. I feel like, though, that Utah, particularly, our lifeblood has been small business. We have a lot of entrepreneurs in our state. We have a lot of small businesses in our state. And I feel like my experience, knowing what it's like to make payroll, knowing what it's like to know my employees so personally, and to see how the everyday laws and restrictions and regulations affect our ability to actually make money at the end of the week, our understanding and personal work with payroll tax and how that affects the business and the employees themselves, I feel like gives me an overall advantage to the daily life of the majority of Utahns.
All right. Kara, how do people find out more about your campaign?
They can visit my website, KaraBirkland.com, or my Facebook page, Representative Kara Birkland, or call me anytime. My number is all over my social media and Facebook page. I would love to reach out and learn of their concerns and the issues facing them and how the state can solve these real problems that are facing.
Okay, and that's Kara, spelled K-E-R-A. Hey, appreciate
Thank you so much.
Appreciate your time this morning.